Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Are you a covenant breaker? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. And we are continuing our look at the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. And we said yesterday that we were going to finish up, but we realized that we left out a very important section, and that dealt with the sin of the covenant breaker. And we felt that this deserves a whole show because, in my personal opinion, Eric, I would say that this is probably where every single Latter-day Saint falls short.
Here's what it says, Bill, on page 57. Akin to many of the other sins is that of the covenant breaker. The person baptized promises to keep all the laws and commandments of God. He has partaken of the sacrament and repledged his allegiance and his fidelity, promising and covenanting that he will keep all God's laws.
Not some. All of them.
Numerous folks have gone to the temples and have recovenanted that they would live all the commandments of God, keep their lives clean, devoted, worthy, and serviceable. Yet many there are who forget their covenants and break the commandments, sometimes deliberately tempting the faithful away with them.
Of course, this is a major, major part of the LDS person's life, and that is keeping the covenants. And they all know they're supposed to keep the covenants. But do they really think, and I mean this in all sincerity, do they really think that God is going to hold them accountable if they slip up? Now remember, we talked about D&C section 1, verse 31. God will not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. Folks, we're looking at this from a Mormon worldview. If God is not going to look upon their sin with the least degree of allowance, and they have been forced, and they basically have been forced because they're supposed to repeat this every time, when they partake of the sacrament, when they're baptized in the Mormon church, when they go to the temple, they are supposed to covenant that they are going to keep all of the commandments, all of them.
Well, Henry Eyring said that in the April 1998 conference message. He said that we may be one, we promise as we take the sacrament to keep his commandments, all of them.
Yeah, and he was quoting J. Reuben Clark also in that talk, where Eyring said, when we partake of the sacrament, we covenant to obey and keep his commandments. There are no exceptions, there are no distinctions, no differences. Eyring went on to note that Clark also taught, just as we repent of all sin, not just a single sin, we pledge to keep all the commandments. So here's my question. How many Latter-day Saints out there are actually keeping that covenant?
How many general authorities are keeping that commandment? Who can besides Jesus himself?
It's not that it's not noble to want to do this. Certainly as Bible-believing Christians, we should want to keep the commandments. But I've got to be honest with you. I even feel queasy singing songs that talk about this total type of surrender as if I'm never going to mess up. I know my sinfulness more than anybody, and I know the struggle that I have in keeping all the commandments continually. There would be a point, I would think, in my life where I was told I have to say certain things, and if I don't live up to those certain things that I say, that somehow my salvation is forfeit, that would cause me some real problems here. Yet every week, Latter-day Saints are making these vows, these covenants, and none of them, folks, are keeping them. You want to know how to make sure that's true? Go up and ask them. Ask them, after you made the covenant to keep all the commandments, how long was it before you had to repent? Because if they had to repent, it means they violated the covenant and they actually broke a commandment. Because only covenant breakers have to repent. And Mormons are often repenting. They'll tell you that.
Well, I think that's why this book is so hard for many Mormons to actually read, The Miracle of Forgiveness, because he goes after this throughout this book and points out the shortcomings. And later on, we're going to find out trying's not good enough, and doing the best you can is just not what God requires. This is what Church Patriarch Eldridge G. Smith said in a conference message in April 1962. He said, to be exalted in the kingdom of God, exaltation, the individual salvation that most Mormons, many Mormons at least, are attempting to earn, one must keep all the laws of the gospel and keep all the commandments of God. It is great to keep the word of wisdom and to pay your tithes and offerings and attend sacrament meetings and fulfill all the other activities in the church. But if you omit your family research and temple work, you fall short and at the peril of your own salvation. I mean, he mentions just a couple, family research. You don't do your genealogy well enough. You don't do your temple work. And here in this chapter 4 that we've been going through, he's listing all the different things. And I'm sure there's no person that could read all through these chapters and say that they didn't struggle with at least one of the areas that he talked about.
And really, where do we find genealogy as being a requirement for salvation when the New Testament actually questions doing genealogy work?
Paul says that in Timothy.
It never supports that. And yet that is a major aspect of Mormon life. You have 13th President Ezra Taft Benson, who said, we go to our chapels each week to worship the Lord and renew our covenants by partaking of the sacrament. We thereby promise to take his name upon us, to always remember him and keep all his commandments. Our agreement to keep all the commandments is the covenant with God. Only as we do this may we deserve his blessings and, I hate this phrase, merit his mercy. Folks, you cannot merit mercy. Mercy must be undeserved. And for a man such as Ezra Taft Benson to say that mercy must be merited, again, that is fingernails on a chalkboard. It should be to us.
Well, Bill, a lot of people might be listening to this show maybe for the first time. Maybe they're LDS and they say, well, don't you believe, Bill, in keeping covenants? Don't you believe in doing the things of the Bible? That's all we're saying to do.
Yeah, they take it a little bit further than that. And certainly, yes, we should want to live up to a holy standard that God has set forth for his people. No doubt about that. But when leaders in a particular organization, such as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, says, if you don't do this, they make you say it, and then if you don't do it, your eternal life, as they define it, is forfeit. Where do you find that in the New Testament? Certainly, we should live a holy life. Certainly, we should strive to live a life that gives honor to God. But we are sinners. We come short. We do fall short. And I'm not downplaying the repentance aspect that Mormons talk. I'm not downplaying that. The problem, of course, is if this is really the requirement, are Latter-day Saints living up to it? He says here, on page 57, Kimball says, akin to many of the other sins is that of the covenant breaker. He is describing every member of the Mormon church. He goes on to say, of those who break covenants and promises made in sacred places and in solemn manner, we can apply the Lord's words as follows. And this is what he cites, D&C section 3, verses 12 and 13. A wicked man who has set at naught the counsels of God and has broken the most sacred promises which were made before God and has depended upon his own judgment and boasted in his own wisdom. What he is saying, folks, is that any Latter-day Saint who makes a pledge to keep his covenants and does not do it is a wicked man. That is the connection that he is making there. This is why so many Latter-day Saints live with such a huge burden of guilt. The church puts that on them. And again, I don't know how many times we have to emphasize this. There's nothing wrong with wanting to keep commandments.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's the idea that you think you have to do it in order to get something from God. And when I'm talking in the context of salvation here, that's where it becomes troubling, because certainly that is a works-based theology, which is condemned soundly in the New Testament. How many Mormons really read the book of Romans? How many Mormons really read the book of Galatians? Galatians is almost like it was written just for Mormons, and we know Paul wasn't doing that because there were no Mormons at the time Paul wrote that. But nonetheless, we find a lot of things in the book of Galatians that certainly address things that Mormons are believing today.
Well, how many Mormons who are as passionate as they can be are feeling this guilt on a regular basis? If you're a Jack Mormon who doesn't go to services or the temple, you're not having to say what the other Mormons who are faithful are doing at their sacrament when they take what we would call communion, or when they go to the temple. They have to make these promises that really, Bill, it's like making somebody say something that nobody can ever do, and they know they can't do it. I mean, that has to have an effect on you, saying, well, I'm not going to do these bad things anymore. And a week later, you feel guilty because you did them again.
It's kind of like in the movies where the person is made to sign a confession and they don't really think they did anything wrong, but they're forced to do it. Well, those are evil people making people say things that they never did. This is supposed to be the church, the only true church on the face of the earth, that is compelling its membership to make these promises and putting this burden upon them. And I know if it was me, I would be struggling with this. I would go, when am I going to quit making these promises that I know I'm not going to keep?
Bill, what's the difference between you and a Latter-day Saint when it comes to this? I mean, you say that you know you have eternal life. How do you know that?
I'm justified by the faith I have in what Jesus did for me. His atonement covered all my sins, all my shortcomings. Jesus knew I was a sinner when he called me unto himself. Nothing has changed as far as that, except for the fact that I'm more cognizant of my sin now than I was before, and certainly I don't want to do the things that I know will displease him. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you think you've got to do it in order to get that salvation that God has already provided by the blood that was shed on Calvary and providing the salvation for us, basically what you're doing is you're doing something in order to get something back, and it becomes a selfish motive now.
We've quoted this many times, Bill, but Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This is the difference between Mormonism and Christianity. If you're listening out there, it's about hope that Christians have because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe.
He paid it all, and that is the good news of the gospel. Whenever any organization, whenever any man starts laying all these other rules and regulations upon you that you must do, that's when the good news becomes bad news. And that's when you start living under law, and as the law affects you, it will make you feel guilty.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.